Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Our God is worthy to be praised. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship You. Praise the Lord. Welcome all of you here to the house of God. Welcome to this evening service. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. It is good to be here in the house of the Lord. It is great to praise His holy name. It's always a good day to be in the house of God. And I'd like to take the time and acknowledge you who's joining us right now and watching this program. I pray that you will see the Lord, that you will hear His voice, that you will have a personal encounter with Him in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus. Praise God. We had a wonderful service this morning. And I look forward to every single wonderful service here in the house of the Lord. This morning was no exception. And I wouldn't have it any other way. And I would hope that you wouldn't have it any other way either. You come expecting your miracle, expecting your healing, expecting a touch from the Lord. Amen? Amen. And this is what I expect every single time I come here, is a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus. Yes. And I hope that every single one of us, when we come to the house of God, we have the same expectations. What is the Lord going to say to me today? What is the thing that it will be an enlightenment in my life? What is that one thing that I've been wanting to understand and to know and to hear? This is what I yearn and long for. Is a personal encounter with my Lord Jesus. Praise God. I have quite the scripture list here this morning, so I don't want to push this any further than what I have to. So let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer right away. Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come before Your presence right now. We come before Your throne, Lord, to say that we love You. And we worship You. We thank You, Lord, for this beautiful day that You've created. Thank You, Lord, so very much. Thank You, Lord, for Your people who are here present, here in Your house. And also, Lord, those that I do not see, those that are watching right now. Bless them, Lord, tremendously. Bless them equally. And may every single one of us, Lord, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church this evening. May Your name, Lord, be glorified in our midst here this evening, and in the midst of everyone, Lord, who is even not here right now, be glorified, Lord, in their lives also. May all the honor and the glory and praise be given unto You, my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. As we think about the various eras on the nation of Israel. In history, the entire nation. The first thing that comes to mind, of course, is the land of Egypt. Right? That's where it all starts. Now, I'm not talking about Abraham. I'm not talking about Isaac and Joseph, and all of that. I'm speaking about the nation as a whole. The millions and millions and millions of people. And we begin with the history of Israel in Egypt. None other place than Egypt, which ultimately they were under bondage. They were under bondage for about 430 years in the nation of Egypt. And then they move on to Exodus and into the wilderness, where they were wandering in the wilderness for about 40 years, and pass through the conquest and division of the land of Canaan. Are you with me? Now, in his sermon at Antioch of Pisidia, The Apostle Paul reviews these things and then comes to the next period of their history. And this is where I want to pick up right now. This is where I want to start reading the Word of God, right here at this point. May I please have Acts chapter 13, verses 16 through 20. And the Word of the Lord says, "Then Paul stood up and motioning with his hands said, 'Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it. Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet." Praise the Lord. You with me so far, yes? The ages of the book of Judges. We see the book of Judges in the Old Testament was a time when things became loose and righteousness had started slipping away from the children of Israel. The Bible says that every man did whatever he thought was right in his own eyes. It was a time where Israel deeply, deeply grieved the Lord. They wanted to do whatever that seemed right, whatever seemed fit. Whatever was, if it was okay for you, if it felt okay, if it was all right, if you thought it was perfectly fine, they did it. The introductory section lays out some key consideration for us this evening, which formed the structure of the entire narrative and thus gives us three lessons on faith from Judges. And that's what I want to talk about this evening. And that is three lessons from the book of Judges in reference to faith. I don't know about you, but I put a lot of emphasis on faith. Faith is everything. And faith is not just something for New Testament Christians. It has been something that has been set in place ever since, I'm just going to say, before Egypt, here that we read, all along since the beginning of time. And I'm going to keep it to three straightforward points that I want to make in reference to faith right now that we can learn from the book of Judges. The first thing that I want to talk about is there is unconquerable faith that starts in the book of Judges. I would like for you to notice right now how the book of Judges opens up. How it begins. My very first verse that I want to bring to your attention is Judges chapter 1, starting in verses 1. Judges 1:1, all the way to verses 4. May I have that, please? Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand." So Judah said to Simeon, his brother, "Come up with me to my allotted territory, that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory." And Simeon went with him. Then Judah went up, And the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they killed 10,000 men at Bezek. This is how the book of Judges opens up. This is how it starts out. Judges 1, 1 through 4 is straight to the point. One man of God is retired, right? Here on earth. He goes to the glory. Who's the next person? The Lord reveals, and they obey, and they have faith in God. Mind you, they're treading new territory right now. And now, let's continue on reading. We're going to do a lot of scripture reading here this evening. Let's move on right now to verses, same chapter, Judges 1, but now let's jump over to verses 8 through 10. Now the children of Judah fought against Jerusalem and took it. They fought against the inhabitants of Jerusalem and just straight out snatched it out of their hands. They struck it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. And afterward, the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites who dwelt in the mountains, in the south, and in the lowland. Then Judah went against the Canaanites who dwelt in Hebron. Now, the name of Hebron was formerly Kirjath Arba. And they killed Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai. And it just keeps going. Success after success after success. Wherever they went, they conquered. Whatever they did, they were successful. They were blessed. Now, moving on, same chapter. We're still on chapter 1. Now, verses 16 through 18, please. Now, the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up from the city of palms with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lies in the south near Arad. And they went and dwelt among the people. And Judah went with his brother Simeon, and they attacked the Canaanites who inhabited Zephath, and utterly destroyed it. So the name of the city was called Hormah. Also, Judah took Gaza with its territory, Ashkelon with its territory, and Ekron with its territory. And it goes on and on. As long as the people had faith in their God, in their Lord, they conquered. Amen. The Bible says they utterly, like without a shadow of a doubt, there is no guessing, there is no, well, maybe they got lucky or it was a good day. No. There is no question whatsoever. There is no doubt whatsoever that these boys were successful in all that they did as long as they had faith in God. And I want to tell you this morning that we too need an unconquerable, faith in God by which we should live every single day. Do we want to be victorious?
Yes.
Amen. Do we want to be victorious in every single thing we do? Utterly. As described in the Word of God, without a question. That's what I call super sauce. That is ultimate. And we can do that when we have faith in our Lord. I want to bring your attention right now to the New Testament briefly. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who does what? Who simply believes. for the Jews first, and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just, you and I, we shall live by faith. There is no other way. There is no other way. As much as we try to run, as much as we try to fight, as much as we could want to be stiff-necked, like how I mentioned this morning, it's just not going to work. You're trying to live a justice life. You're trying to live righteous before the Lord. Well, you shall live by faith. Because if you don't, things aren't actually going to work out very well in your favor. That's just what it is. That's how God has set things up. You will wholeheartedly trust in me. Have faith in me. Without me, you can't do nothing. It requires a certain amount of faith. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, please. It's a short verse. For we, you and I, we walk by faith and not by sight. Whether you like it or not, whether you choose to accept it or not. Oh, Pastor, it's hard. It's tough. I cannot do it. The things I'm going through right now. Yes, you can. You are able. It is 100% possible. By all means. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 6, please. While in the New Testament. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You must believe that God is an all-powerful God, that God is all-knowing. He is every single thing. He is literally our everything. And this kind of faith will always, always bring us victory in anything that we do. Amen. In any type of thing whatsoever. So, since the very beginning here of Judges, we see uncomparable faith. But there's also something else that I see, that I notice. Still in the beginning of Judges, there is unwarranted faithfulness. Faithlessness. I'm a little bit tongue-heavy here this evening, so please pardon me. Unwarranted faithless. Faithlessness. And I would like for you to notice what happens as time went on right now, in this era, in this time where faithlessness occurred. We're going to go back to the book of Judges chapter 1, but now we're going to start in verses 19. So the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the mountaineers, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland because they had chariots of iron. You know what this tells me? This could not, right here in the Word of God, simply means would not. Not could not. Because there's nothing impossible for our God. It doesn't matter if they were, oof, it does not, well, I mean, I don't care if they had a tank in there. A sea of tanks with missile launchers. And they're coming up against them with bow and arrows and swords. That still would not prevent them from conquering. It's not that they could not. It's that they would not. I would like for you to pay attention right now, just a few verses over to verses 21. But the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem. So the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. Wow. Quite something there to behold. To this very day, because of their disobedience, because of their faithlessness, this is what happened. And ultimately, they lost what they had gained. And this was the ultimate result, as we see in verses 27, please. Verses 27 says, however, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and its villages, or Taanach and its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, or the inhabitants of Ibleam and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages. For the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. I don't know about you, but I see a huge, huge problem right here. That's a lot of people, a lot of tribes, a lot of pockets right now that you're just choosing to be comfortable when the Lord instructed clearly that you're going to drive them out. You're going to wipe them out. They're getting kicked out of the house. Everybody. Every single person. And now they see some confrontation. They see someone standing up to them. And who's to say that they've gotten scared? Who's to say that all of a sudden they became afraid? And now, oh, just because these people are flashing some chariots and some horses and some pretty mean weapons, oh, what we're going to do? And as a result, oh yeah, you stood them off? Well, we're going to stand them off, and we're going to tell these muchachos over here, they're going to stand them off too, and next thing you know, hey man, we heard about you guys, but we're not having it right now, okay? So we're just going to live together. We're just going to work this out. You know, I'm pretty sure we can get along. But this wasn't the perfect will of God. And what led to this situation, this particular situation right now? It could only be one thing. And that is the lack of faith. The lack of faith in the Lord God. And how detrimental that has been, even now through the course of time. May I please have Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 13. Praise God. Thank you, brother. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old, and they buried him within the borders of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres, in the mountains of Ephraim, in the north side of Mount Gaash, or Gosh. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, meaning that entire group of people who had witnessed, who were there, who saw all these things, when that whole generation passed away, gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served the Baals or the Baals, and the Ashtoreths. You see, the reason why the Lord wanted to take everybody out, take them out. Take every single one. Wipe them out. Wipe them out. Men, women, children. There are times the Lord instructed the people to even wipe out the cattle. Don't even take their possessions. And I'm thinking he was saying all of this because it's cursed. Because they might have been dedicated to idols and to demons. And, you know, a curse might have been, you know, it's not a good thing. Not a good thing whatsoever. These Baals and these Ashtoreths and these Mildon, I'm missing the pronunciation right now. All these are heavy-duty satanic entities that are still in operation right now on earth. They're still around. And now all these inhabitants that were all around, they didn't serve God. They wanted nothing to do with God. They wanted to serve a God, but their own God. And this is why the Lord said, take everybody out. I'm giving you this land, but they're not part of that inheritance. They will not dwell with you. They will not share in your blessings, but they disobeyed. And as a result, their faith went down. And we must be careful not to allow our hearts of unbelief to draw us away from the Lord our God at any given time. That could include your bad company. That could include your unsaved friend. People who are not following the Lord as you are, who are slacking in the things of God. By all means, we must always be careful. May I please have Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12. And we're going to take it all the way to verses 19. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief. It starts out with unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. This is why. The deceitfulness of sin will harden your heart. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that he would not that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey. So we see that they could not enter in because of one thing, and that is unbelief. That's what they lacked. They lacked faith. And now one problem after another problem that ultimately has lasted to this very day. Not too long ago, we heard in the news about Israel being attacked by their neighbors, by the dudes next door. This is an ongoing problem that has been nonstop through the centuries. Now you know where it began. It all began from a lack of faith. And this is why we must be very careful to guard our hearts against unbelief. Because that does only one thing. That draws us away from God. That separates us from God. But now, I just don't want to leave things off of faithlessness. In the book of Judges, there is also undeserved faithfulness. What was God's response when his people snatched defeat from the jaws of victory? This was God's response. Judges chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare to you. So it was, when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept. Then they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. Wow. How about that? They're going to be a thorn on your side, right? Why did you have unbelief? But you know, even so, even now in the midst of adversity, of disobedience, and all these things, God was faithful to visit them, regardless. Reminding them of his goodness, of his love, and telling them what he expected from them, and ultimately still expects. Expecting that they will serve the Lord, that they would have faith in him once again. Folks, every single one of us is tempted. We are all tempted, every single one of them. This is not just something that happened to the children of Israel back many hundreds of years ago. This is for us too. But when reading this verse here, along with other verses in the Bible, I am so pleased to know, it's so encouraging, that my God, the God that I serve, is faithful. Hallelujah. Even though I fall short, even though I have my shortcomings, and I have my troubles, my God is still faithful. May I please have 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. This is the God that I serve. This is the God that I honor. Yes, there are times that I have weak moments. There are times that, man, I lost it. I shouldn't have said this. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have carried myself this way. What I did here, what I did there, grieved the Holy Spirit. But when I read these verses right now, it just brings so much joy and hope to my inner man, to me, in knowing that my God will not desert me. My God is faithful. Even when we sin, even when we fall, he is faithful. The final verse for this evening will come from 1 John chapter 1, verses 9, please. If we confess our sins, the Lord our God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from every single unrighteousness. All of it. Every single thing. Our God is faithful to cleanse. Now, this doesn't give us a pass to go sinning. It doesn't give us a path to just deliberately doing something wrong that you know you're supposed to be to not do, I'm sorry. And, oh, I'm just going to ask forgiveness, you know, when I get home tonight or tomorrow morning when I wake up or whenever. Or Sunday when I go to church. That's not how it works, folks. No, no, no whatsoever. When you know and you know and you know, by all means, you will be judged by that too, as far as what you know. So right now, in conclusion, the period of the judges was a dark time in the history of Israel. But there are still heroes of faith for us to consider, even though, even during these dark times. There's heroes of faith throughout the entire Bible, and we bless the name of the Lord for their lives. We can learn from them. And now the question that I have for everyone is this. Will we be among those who live as though we don't know the power of God, His grace, His love? Will we be among those who just do whatever we want to do, or among those who are determined to live by faith, to trust in God every single step of the way? Who are we going to be? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we worship You. Lord, we praise You. You are an awesome God. You are a mighty, mighty God. And Lord, we are here to say to You this evening that we love You with all of our hearts. We love You, Lord, so much. Thank You, Lord, for being faithful to us. Thank You, Lord, for being kind to us. Thank You. Thank You so much. At times, Lord, when we didn't deserve mercy, You were merciful to us and showed compassion, Lord, towards us. And we love You, Lord, for that. I pray, Lord, that we will all live by faith and nothing else, and not by what we perceive or what we understand or what we think, but by faithfulness towards You and Your holy word and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. To You and You alone. Lord, we want to be faithful to the very, very end. And we are determined to do so, to be just that.
Yes.
Once again, Lord, we love You, and we will always love You for as long as we live. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.